This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Who'd have thunk that germs and bacteria and stuff that mills around in the air in your stomach could be something that we've been talking a lot about? It's not science. We're talking food, and I've got somebody here who's going to enchant you with all of these stories of microbes and bugs and things. It's very, very interesting. Stay with me. We are talking cravings, and in particular today we are talking about microbial bacteria. It doesn't sound utterly exciting, but I reckon by 2 o'clock you are all going to be rushing out to buy some raw honey or some yogurt, or you're actually going to be interested in making your own yogurt, because I have somebody here who is utterly fascinating, and the things we're going to unpack over the next hour are seriously going to have you interested. Her name is Sharon Flynn. She's from the Fermentary. That is based currently here in Melbourne, and she's sitting across from me, and she's excited to talk to you about the thing that she loves the most. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
We're also going to talk a little bit later in the program to Michael Buschetta from Grow, which is something you're also involved with.
Yes,
this is kind of good.
Right.
And later in the program as well, we'll catch up with the festival director from the Grampians, Grape Escape. You may have heard ads happening here on the station. And I do need to declare my interest. It's not pecuniary. I sit on the board of the festival as a volunteer. So I just need to put that on the table at the start and cover all the bases. Sharon Flynn, talk to me about the art of fermenting, and more so, I think, the history of fermenting, because it's been something we've been doing for thousands of years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think originally humans started fermenting probably by accident in many cases. If you think about milks in hide skin bags
or
behind
yaks,
doors,
guts
just hanging.
Yeah,
guts that thickened milk and soured it to a point that felt and smelt good and okay.
Yes.
And so a lot of things were accidental. Even cabbages found in salty water and found to be preserved. So originally,
how do cabbages find their way into salty water?
I think that I read something about the Great Wall of China being built and the rain and cabbages being put there and salt in the ground, something like that. There are a lot of cases all around the world that sauerkraut funnily seemed to have happened all around the world at about the same time,
right,
when there wasn't communication. So just the way we evolved together on that.
And started looking for stuff that tasted better,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, I think so for cabbage, definitely I think all of the fermented food happened by accident and we needed to preserve the food, but also along with that it actually tasted good and turns out now we found out it's actually really good for your gut.
So for those playing at home, things that we tend to ferment or that people might know about, fermented soybeans.
Miso. And soy sauce.
Yep. Kimchi, which is
kimchi,
a Korean sort of fermented cabbage.
It's just cabbages, different kinds of cabbages or vegetables and chili. So it's a faster ferment.
What's the benefit of fermentation?
The benefit, well, I would like to say first off, it's flavour, because the flavours we can get through fermentation are different to any other style of food preparation. You can get something sweet and it will turn sour, but deep and complex.
Yeah.
So that for me is what I love, but also you preserving your food so you can get a season's harvest and A, make it taste better, and B, have it for months and months or years. Years.
Let's go back, say, probably 1,500, 2,000 years where people were living in huts on the sides of mountain ranges in what we now call Afghanistan or, wherever. And sort of, you know, that old very hunter-gatherer, and they would gather what was around that they discovered wouldn't kill them.
Yes.
Bring it into the hut.
Yep.
No electricity, no cooking facilities apart from
fire. No refrigerator.
No refrigeration. Is that sort of where that it all clicked in that stage of our evolution?
Definitely. Definitely, especially with milk. Mm. There's a lot of talk about raw milk at the moment, and nobody wants to really talk about it because it's sort of touchy.
Well, there was a South Australian man this week fined for selling raw milk cheese.
Terrible.
It's ridiculous.
He wasn't really even selling it because that was a herd share. So that's just a whole thing. But I guess the only safe way to consume raw milk, the only safe way after it's a few days old, is to ferment it. And that's what humans have already always done.
Mm.
And I know from working with milk that when I ferment a milk that's perhaps not as fresh as it should be, it turns. So it's also a good indicator of, oh, the milk wasn't that good. The ferment, it curdled very quickly. It shouldn't have done that. It might still be all right, but it gives you an indication of its freshness or the actual health of the animal that gave you the milk.
Right. Now, this is not milk that you're stopping by the supermarket to pick up in a 2 or 3 litre container that is homogenised, pasteurised and almost completely stagnated.
No, we're talking about raw milk because we're talking about 1,500 years ago.
Where does the influence for you come from? I think there's one human being that has your demigod, if you will.
Oh, Sandor Katz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I met him in Seattle at a fair, and I bought his, he had a local magazine at the time. It was similar to the Wild Fermentation book. And what captured me then was I didn't realise I'd been making bread, and I thought I was really quite deep into cooking because I'd go to the bakery and buy their moist yeast, not the powdered. And I thought, I'm all the way. Yeah. And then I read that you could capture it from just putting flour and water together. And that, when I started to think, oh my God, of course, where does yeast come from? What is yeast? And how do we, what? You know,
it's wild bacteria.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That lives in the air.
Yeah. So I started doing that and then learning how to attract yeasts. And what yeast is a beautiful, beautiful thing when you start to read about it. It's all over us. It's all on everything. What it really wants is sugar.
Yes.
Yeast loves sugar. Mm. So it'll go all over the place looking for sugar. And humans have skin, so they can't get in to our sugars. And potatoes, for example, have a thick skin and it keeps them out. So if you want to capture a good yeast that's good for flour, you think of something else that's a starch, like flour, like a potato peel.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing that you'd put into flour to capture the kind of yeast that is after that kind of sugar.
So if we talk about sourdough bread, and I'm going to make this really simple, we're going to take a quick break and come back and sort of unpack this a lot more, but flour and water is a sourdough culture.
Yes.
So people are constantly banging on about sourdough cultures. As you make each batch of bread, you retain some of that original culture.
Yep.
And then just what, you'd use 90% of your culture in your bread or 50%?
Well, you don't really need a lot, and people think they do, but you could use just a tablespoon.
Right.
It's often in the case with yogurts and anything, we call it backslopping. When you use some part of something that's already fermented and you use that as your starter, that's a backslop. And so for yogurt, often less is more because it has to fight harder to live. So you put a little bit of that yogurt in and it's like, oh, quick, 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 quick. Whereas you put a lot in, it tends to stagnate and not work as well. So less is more.
Somebody right this minute could go into their pantry and take some whole wheat stone ground flour or, you know, if they want to take some
any flour,
white plain flour, mix it with some water.
Preferably unchlorinated.
Unchlorinated, but anyway. So out with a...
just a rain, but catch some rain.
Rainwater.
Yep.
Slice off a lump of potato peel, chuck it in there, put a towel over it, put it in somewhere warm.
Yeah, put a little towel over it just so that bugs don't come.
Mm.
You want it out open to the air. There's yeast in the air, but we're getting mostly yeast from the flour. And if your flour isn't great and it's just cheap,
nasty
plain
stuff,
flour, that's when you'll need the potato peel. But that potato peel has to hopefully have some remnants of soil. We don't want it to be this polished...
washed thingamy.
Yeah, washed in chemicals thing. So we're thinking about yeast as it occurs naturally in the world. So always try and, when you're working out what to use, think like that. Just...
what about just a carrot peel?
Try a carrot peel.
Out of your garden.
Out of your garden's great because there's bacteria and yeast in your soil, and that's...
And if you don't have a garden, there's
You'll have one on your bench.
Beautiful ways to create a garden, because all of these things are ultimately incredibly good for you. It's 1:15. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We are talking fermentation and all of those good things for you that are microbial that are in your belly. We're going to get to that in a moment too. It's 1:15.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Indeed, you are listening to me, Pete Dillon. Sharon Flynn is in the studio with me, and we are unpacking fermentation and cultures and microbial business in your bellies and so much more. Sharon, we were talking we sort of went on a little bit of a raw milk tangent.
Sorry.
No, not at all. Just before we heard those messages, I want to sort of work out this whole benefit of bacteria, and because there is a lot of science around recently that talks about our moods, our anxiety, our sleep patterns, just our general feeling of wellness can be quite influenced by the microbes in our stomach.
That's right. Well, I think that fermentation as a flavour and a food preparation thing happened kind of at the same time as science became more aware that Hippocrates said that, you know, all your health lies in your gut a long time ago. And we're just discovering it now through really powerful microscopes. What you're after is microbial diversity in your gut. So if you say, I eat a little bit of yogurt, that's great. But let's aim for as much diversity as possible all the different ferments.
Someone thinks they're doing the right thing by having a Yakult in the morning, but that's only one strain of bacteria.
That's a good, clever strain called Shirota. Mm-hmm. That actual drink is full of sugar as well, but you know, if that's your method of getting, and you feel that makes you regular, for example, do it. Mm-hmm. But that is only one strain, and that's not the only strain we need. We need to sprinkle it around in the garden of your gut. You know, just sauerkraut has about 30 to 50 kinds of bacteria if you're making it at home from scratch without a starter culture.
Well, how do we do that at home without a starter culture?
Well, it's easy. You just
go and buy a cabbage.
All right, go buy your cabbage.
At a farmer's market.
Yeah, I would like to be all fancy and say that, but you can just buy one from the supermarket. I do prefer, you know, organic and local and straight from the earth, because we're trying to capture bacteria, and that's where the bacteria is also from the earth. But if you just go to a supermarket and get a cabbage, that's fine, because you pull the outer leaves off anyway.
Yep.
Chop it up evenly and as finely as you can. If you use a mandolin, even better. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to add, say, weigh the cabbage, because you want to add 2% of that weight of salt.
Of salt.
So if you've got a cabbage that's, you know,
half a kilo. Let's go a kilo, because it's easier to do the math.
My math is terrible. I think it's about a tablespoon
of salt. Yeah, it's about
20 grams. So you can be casual. Once you start getting used to the flavour of how salty it is, you'll know. But so it's like a palmful.
Yeah, so we'll say 20 grams of salt to a kilo.
And then you'll sprinkle that all around the cabbage and really mix it in really well, massage it through, because we're trying to get the salt to break the cell walls down.
Get all Nigella on it.
Completely, Even worse, if you sit it there for 10 minutes, some water will start seeping out, and then you need to go. My grandmother's recipe says, at this stage, go out to the shed and grab an axe handle. That's the recipe. So go out and get something wide, like a mallet, something to encourage the juices from the cabbage to come out.
Right.
It doesn't damage the cabbage at all. It's really funny. You whack it and
so the
it stays
end of,
crunchy.
So the end of a rolling pin or something?
Yeah, perfect.
Or the mortar from the pestle
great.
From a mortar.
If you're only doing one cabbage, that's fine. A lot of people just leave it to sit for 10 minutes, and that seems to coax the water out well enough.
Yep.
But give it a good bash, because that's part of the process, I think. And it's fun. You know, you can get some things out. Yeah, get it out.
Yes.
And then, so by then, you should be able to pick it up in your hands, and it should be dripping with juice.
Yeah.
Then it's when it's ready. So you're going to pack it into a very clean jar. You don't need to go crazy with killing the bacteria in the jar. We want a clean jar, so just hot water is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then shove the salty cabbage in as tightly as you can.
Like
squeezing. We don't want air pockets. We want an anaerobic environment.
Yep.
So we want to shut all that out. So push it all down, and the brine should be covering, the brine that you've made now will cover the cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, maybe get a cabbage leaf that you've saved from before.
Yes.
put it over the top just to cover it, to keep all the cabbage down, and then put a weight on that, because as the carbon dioxide forms, it'll bubble up, which is beautiful thing, but you don't want any cabbage to come up as well, because anything that's not under the brine won't ferment and it could mold.
Yeah, and it goes a bit black.
But it's not, you know, you can get a rock from your garden and use that as a weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then as long as it's under the brine, you don't need to worry about a lidding system as much. You don't have to go out and buy expensive kits.
You can put a lid
kits
on it.
I would love you to use an airlock system, which is not an expensive one. Just a lid with like one of those, you know, those plastic airlocks you put water in. You can get them for 20 cents or $2 at home brewery stores. Put that in and fill it half with water. And the reason I love it is because within 3 or 4 days when it starts to ferment, that thing tells you by going bloop, 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 bloop. And if you've got 2 or 3 ferments on your bench and they're all doing that,
then you've got a very healthy kitchen.
No.
And it is about having a healthy kitchen. It's about having those things that will attract wild yeast. Because as you say, we're surrounded by wild yeast. Raw honey is another really interesting thing that you can ferment with.
Well, I've been playing with honey quite a bit lately just because, when I was at Sandor Katz's house in November, there was a lot of mead action with all the other participants of the workshop.
Mead as in
mead,
honey wine.
Wild mead is, yes. So I came home and I was, that's crazy. All you need to do is add water to wake up the yeasts and feed them in honey and you'll have mead. So it just depends on the ratio.
So mead is like a honey wine.
Well,
it's alcohol.
It's our oldest. They say it's our oldest alcohol. You know, it's what they use to give people. That's why it's called a honeymoon, because you would traditionally have it for the whole, every day for the first month of your marriage, made you fertile.
Made you a
little bit more relaxed. So I started playing around with mead, and every time I had a workshop, people would be more fascinated. They'd be looking, doing the sauerkraut and be like, what is that? And then I'd be like, you know what? All you need to do is add water. As long as it's raw honey,
You can go into a lot of, I know a lot of groovy cafes have now got sort of test tubes of rooftop honey that grows, that is produced over on the roofs of buildings here in Melbourne.
Great?
So you just put that in and you add water and that will
start fermenting and become very fizzy very quickly.
Awesome.
You stir it every day and you need to leave it open to the air. Mm. But that's not the thing. If you've got raw honey, you can pour it into a jar and shove peeled garlic into it. Just fill it up with garlic, fill your jar with garlic, pour honey over the top and leave that. The water from the garlic will be pulled out.
Yes.
The honey will become quite liquidous and taste like garlic and honey at the same time. It's so divine to use. It's also full of great bacteria. You can pour it over everything. And the garlic, after a few months, becomes, you know, very, very beautiful to put in your cooking. You know, you've always got a garlic there to use in dressings and things that's enhanced.
Mm.
But also to eat raw, if you're coming down with a cold, it's not as crunchy and raw as raw honey would be.
Hot.
It's fermented and it's a little creamy.
Mm.
You can take a tablespoon of the honey if you've got a sore throat. But there's all the medicinal properties of it. However, for me, as I just love to eat,
it just tastes
so great. Mm. And then I started shoving all kinds of things in the honey. I was like, if garlic is good, what about jalapenos?
Or what about ginger?
Amazing. What about peaches?
Yum.
Oh, my gosh. Peaches on the yogurt that have been fermented in honey is delicious.
Well, you've bought some yogurt in for me that is made from chili stems. So very quickly, how did you come to this conclusion that chili stems
are really weird. I've been very, very proud of my heirloom yogurt starter culture. It's just a bit of yogurt that I got at Sandor Katz's house.
Now, we've got to talk about Sandor Katz briefly as well.
Oh,
he's an American guy, HIV positive.
Yep.
And he's sort of the...
He's written two amazing books.
Yep.
And he's the ultimate revivalist. You know, he's brought fermentation awareness to the world, really.
So if we take all of the celebrity chefs out of it who've just jumped on board because of the idea.
Well, they're hunting for umami and a new flavour.
Yeah, but umami's always been there.
Yes.
We just haven't known where to look for it properly. It's like a G-spot.
There you go.
Occasionally we should be able to find it.
I was very proud of my yogurt.
Yeah. Yep.
And we have a fantastic boy working for us. Well, he's a man from India. And he started working for us 4 days after arriving. And I was boasting about my yogurt. And he was like, well, in India, I just used chili stems. And I kept saying to him, what? What? So I went home and I made my yogurt the regular way. Instead of adding yogurt to make in the next batch, I added 4 chili stems, just the chili stems.
So just the little stems
just
off the
top.
End of a chili.
Yes. And I put it in the jars as normal, put it into my incubator, which is actually an oven just on 40, as low as possible. And it made yogurt and I showed you today. It's just like yogurt.
It's incredible.
What? Couldn't believe it.
And putting that on top of a Rogan Josh or something you made at home would just be extraordinary.
Just the idea that there are so many ways of preparing food that are simple and in our kit available.
And it preserves the food.
Preserves
and it also preserves our well-being.
And so good. You can do it with tamarind as well. I just
Sharon Flynn is my guest. She is a fermentation advocate and somebody who gets a great deal of joy. You can hear it in her voice. A great deal of joy from playing with these things. Sharon is speaking at an event called Grow Assembly, which is on the 1st of May, Sunday the 1st of May. We're going to talk a little bit about Grow Assembly in just a second with Michael Bechetta. He is one of the organisers of that little festival. And Sharon is going to continue enchanting me, if not you, with all of these wonderful new techniques that we can take home and do right there in your kitchen as you're listening to us. 28 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
From Mike Evans down there at the Diversity Expo to Pete Evans on here, and I have in the studio with me Sharon Flynn. We've been talking all things fermentation, and I'm utterly, utterly fascinated. Sharon, you're at Grow Assembly, which is on Sunday the 1st of May at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent.
That's right.
It's a gathering of great hospitality minds, I think, and there's people coming from Tassie and Belgium and all over the place. Michael Bechetta is one of the organisers of that festival. He's on the phone with me now. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to us. Give us a bit of a rundown on how Grow Assembly came about and what people might expect if they're interested in attending.
Yeah, we, myself and a couple of the other members of Grow, worked on a similar event that happened via at Ica Restaurant a couple of years ago.
Which was the War Gathering, WAW?
Yeah, the War Gathering, yeah. And we really enjoyed that weekend. It was based off two smaller events, so one day of talks, mostly from chefs from both Australia and around the world. And then the next day was a charity lunch. And we saw the success of that and how much people got out of it, not only the attendees, but also the people we brought together for it in terms of the speakers, and looked at what else was happening around the world with things like the Mad Food Camp and the Welcome Conference, and thought that Melbourne was definitely lacking in that area in hospitality.
So
we started talking about six after this.
You're right. Sorry, I interrupted you unintentionally.
That's okay. Around 6 months ago, we started talking about what was happening in the hospitality industry in Melbourne with the lack of chefs and younger wait staff coming through, and sort of looking at hospitality as an industry for to base a career off. We saw places opening each week, but less and less people to fill the positions. And with the cuts to TAFE over the last few years, there's certainly less people being trained in hospo.
And look, it's one of those things where you're talking to, or you're interested in talking to people who have made, who want to make hospitality a career for life, not something that they do while they're studying to become an accountant or an ambulance driver. How are you going to capture those people? What if they come along? What are they taking away? And why have you chosen the speakers you've chosen?
We've chosen the speakers for Grow because it is quite a vast industry. A lot of people see hospitality as you either cook or you serve the food, and that's it.
Mm.
We chose these speakers because there's such a vast array within hospitality that you can move towards. When I was coming through the industry, when I was a little younger, I was never told what I was capable of or what could become of me if I continued in the industry. It was basically like you wait tables and then you might be able to own a restaurant one day, and that was it. But as we sort of go through the speakers, and everyone will begin to learn that it's not the case at all.
And so you're talking sommeliers, farmers, brewers, people like Sharon, who's sitting here in the studio talking about fermentation and making a career out of not necessarily having to be a chef, but to be able to take the skills that Sharon and her business can provide. In some people might be best in a business person's role where they are actually a business manager rather than a front of house manager or a kitchen manager or a bar manager, or, you know, they're managing the business side of the industry rather than the customer face to face stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that when you're sort of coming through the ranks as a waiter or as a chef, you're generally not taught anything the business side of things. A lot of the places that I've worked for, it's nearly hidden from you. So you don't learn any of the back office things until you're sort of dumped into a management position, and it's definitely sort of sink or swim. And across all the organisers, we all had a similar feeling. And now that we're all in those positions, we've found that the best things with our team is to really expose our staff to it. Mm. And we think we can do that through Grow as well.
Sharon, you're speaking at Divine. Why did you agree to get involved with Grow?
Why? Because actually Vicky Symington, who's one of the organisers, connected with me last year sometime.
I think it's actually Michael's. Michael, that's your girlfriend as well, isn't it?
That is.
Yes. We connected over fermenting, actually.
Yep.
And she was moving back to Australia, so I knew her, and she told me about what it is. And definitely this is not an industry that I thought I would get involved in at all. I've only been doing this for 5 years.
Yep.
So I love what I do, and I love all aspects of it. So I think, yeah, definitely I would like to help and be involved.
And, Michael, the likes of wine writer Max Allen, restaurateurs Kevin Donovan and Angie Giannakadakis from Epoca, Banjo Harris Plain, who's one of the organising team, who's moderating the day. There's a real diversity of talent that you're putting up as to provide people information about different career paths within the industry.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we felt that other events that are similar to ours maybe would focus on one thing. So whether it be like generally chefs get a pretty big run, especially in the last sort of 10 years.
Since they became celebrities.
Exactly. which has done some great things for our industry, but also...
It's also ridiculously oxymoronic.
Exactly. And we definitely wanted to... not shift the folks away from the kitchen, but really show people that there's definitely more to hospitality.
MasterChef is not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael, it's a fascinating program on at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. Give us the web address.
Yep, it's growassembly.com.au for all ticket sales.
Yep, morning, lunch, afternoon tea, all included in the day. You can find out more on the website. If you are a student at William Angelus and happen to be listening, there are some discounts for students within industry teaching bodies. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. So across William Angelus and Chisholm, we're offering discounted tickets. And for William Angelus specifically, we're actually giving away five free tickets to the students, but it will be selected via a short essay.
Yep.
Based around a few questions that we've posed, and we'll be selecting those students in the next few weeks.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but if somebody is at Kang and Tay, for example, or at another institution, they want to come along and they are a student, is there an opportunity for them to access those discounted prices?
Yeah, certainly. They can email info@growassembly.com.au. Ask for a little more information on that, and we can certainly provide discounted tickets for any hospitality student.
Good man. And, of course, we need to give the bar a plug. You're at Liberty Bar, which is where?
Yeah, so Bar Liberty is at 234 Johnson Street in Fitzroy. Open tonight, as usual.
And the web address?
Yeah, it's barliberty.com.
Good on you. Michael, thank you for your time. I understand you're a busy man and it's a busy day, so I appreciate you taking the time out.
No worries at all. Thanks so much. Thanks, Aaron.
Bye.
Michael Bichetta is one of the organisers of Grow Assembly. I encourage you to have a look at that website, particularly if you're in the industry or you're interested in being in the industry. It is a remarkable day full of some incredibly talented people, including my guest here in the studio, Sharon Flynn.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. joy.org.au.
Yes, that is the Crampion's Great Escape, which is on in 2 weeks' time. And oddly enough, I have the festival director with me. Sharon Flynn is also in the studio. We've been talking about fermentation and all those wonderful things you can do with bacteria, and we're going to do a little bit more of that in just a minute. But Dave Wheaton is the festival director of the Grampians Grape Escape, Joy sponsor. Good afternoon.
G'day, Pete.
Tell us a little bit about the festival. How many years have we been going?
This will be our 25th. So the festival started way back in 1992. It was held in the same location at the base of Mount William in Halls Gap. There were seven wineries, seven restaurants, and about 1,000 people turned up. This year, for our 25th, there'll be well over 100 different exhibitors on site, and we're expecting a crowd of around 10,000.
It's a big day, and we just heard Miguel is going to be there as the ambassador chef. Who else is coming?
Kate Sabano's performing on Sunday afternoon, so really looking forward to having Kate in Halls Gap. To have an artist of her calibre is just fantastic for the festival.
And this audience loves Kate Sabano.
They do, and Sunday afternoon is the best time for it, when people have enjoyed a few wines and they're ready to get up and have a bit of a dance before they head for home.
A couple glasses of beautiful Grampians region Shiraz, no less.
Absolutely, and that's what we're famous for, cold climate Shiraz. Mm. And there'll be 31 different wineries offering tastings all over the weekend.
Is this Australia's longest continuously running food and wine festival?
Look, we think it is. There are certainly festivals that have been around a bit longer than ours, but we're the only one that is continually, every year, has put on a festival in one location. Some festivals have a whole range of different activities happening across the region, so things at Salador and that sort of thing, whereas our festival brings all of them into one central location, so that you can get around 30 wineries in one weekend, something you couldn't do, if you needed to drive the distances to get
to. I was going to say, particularly if you're driving, that could get... unless you have a designated driver who's allergic to alcohol, and they're so hard to find, Lord knows I've tried. Dave, if people want tickets to the event, they can, of course, go to the website.
They can, grampiansgrapeescape.com.au. We've got a range of different ticket options, going from $5 for an online kids ticket through to a $99 wine lovers ticket, which provides you with a tasting glass and all the tastings that you can handle.
And speaking of kids, our friend Alice in Frames, Alice Zaslavsky, will also be up there doing some fun stuff with kids.
She will. She'll be in the kids marquee a number of times each day. Doing some, having some cooking fun with the little foodies, talking about healthy food options and that sort of thing. And at some stage, she'll also join Miguel on the main cooking stage.
Excellent. And if nothing else, people want to get up there, I'll be around hosting some various activities over the course of the weekend, because, of course, I sit on the board, so I've got to do something that's useful.
We'll have you well in harness, Pete, and the masterclass tank, I think, is shaping up to something really special.
Sort of becomes my home.
One of the things I'm really looking forward to will be Viv Thompson, the owner of Best Winery, who'll be doing a vertical tasting to celebrate 150 years of Best Wines.
I'm hosting that.
Village. Mm. Yeah, that's the one you want to be at, I think.
I'll be tasting there. Absolutely. Hey, mate, good to talk to you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And again, the website, if people want to know more, grampiansgrapeescape.com.au. And, of course, you'll hear more ads over the more announcements over the coming weeks from right here on Joy, because the Grampians Grape Escape is a Joy sponsor. Dave, good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Cheers, mate. It's Dave Wheaton. He's the festival director of the Grampians Grapescape. It's such a good weekend.
Oh, I think I'm going to go.
It's great fun.
Yes.
So you can go for a day.
Yep.
Wander around. Yep. There's exhibitors and...
How long does it take to drive?
From Melbourne? You can do it in 3 hours.
Okay.
Less than 3 hours. I can get to a board meeting from Melbourne's Inner West to Halls Gap in just over 2.5 hours.
That's nothing. No.
Yeah. It's a great way to get out and celebrate. The region itself is just stunning.
Yeah.
Because you sit, you stand and look at this magnificent cliff. I can imagine the wild yeasts out there.
Oh,
excellent.
My gosh. Let's all that wine around.
Yes, was there a couple of other things that I did want to talk about, and I think one of them was the influence of Sandokats in the global discussion around bacteria and healthy bacteria and how it's actually really, really good for us.
Yes.
How has it affected his journey as somebody who is HIV positive? Is that why he became so interested in its health benefits?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a twofold thing. He went and lived on an intentional community, and he had the time and the garden and the need to preserve, because if you don't have refrigeration, that's what you can turn to. But at the same time, he was after a very serious looking after his health. He was trying to find things. And he, in his first book, he did mention it quite strongly that that the gut health thing had a lot to do with his health. And he's pulled back a little bit because people tend to take your words and change them around a lot.
Yes.
But definitely he eats very clean and ferments in every meal. Yeah.
So this is a very, very healthy way for us to live our life, in that we're not relying on refrigeration. It's going to take a little bit to get into it, I'm assuming. If you really want to start to make an incredibly positive change, it's something you can do incrementally. So start with something really simple, like maybe make your own yogurt.
Yeah.
Or start a sourdough culture to start making your own bread.
Well, the sourdough thing, I feel like it's better for your gut because of the way the wheat and the gluten that, you know, everyone's afraid of at the moment. Everything's digested by the culture.
Yep.
So you're cooking that. So you're not getting your probiotics from your sourdough bread. You're making the bread more digestible. And that's what a lot of fermenting does as well. Mm-hmm. The cabbage that's fermented, the sauerkraut or the kimchi, it has digestive enzymes in it. So when you swallow it, it's already partially digested. And those digestive enzymes help to digest the meat that you may have eaten, or the fat, breaks the fat down. So you look in any old cultures like Japanese or French cooking, for example, they always serve, if they're serving a fatty food, it always comes along with something acidic.
Yep.
And so that's what I was after in the beginning, the Australian diet, how to bring that back, how to make the food, or what can we eat in our regular diet to make it more accessible. So, yes, there are sandwiches and there are sourdoughs and things like that, but just a little bit of something fermented with every meal. So even a glass of wine. That's fermented.
Hooray! Fermented grape juice. Sharon, it's been a fascinating discussion. I'd love to have you back at some point in the not too far away, and I'll try and get Emma Sterling, who's our regular nutritionist and dietitian, because I think the two of you together, fascinating stuff.
Okay, thanks.
And we won't interrupt it with other things. People can see you at Grow Assembly Sunday, the 1st of May.
Tomorrow we're going to the Lake House for Producers Festival.
Yes, it is the Regional Producers Day. There's so much on tomorrow. Gatito Gil, which is being fermented. World Melbeck Day tomorrow, so Gatito Gil is on tomorrow. Asado is on up in Clonmanane.
Yes, that's right.
That's where I'm heading.
I'm going there too.
Yeah, that's where we're heading for the day.
That's nice.
Eat beef. So I'll have some fermented grape juice to help digest
the
beef.
You do that. Well, that's digestive. Have some bitters afterwards.
I'm trying to do the best things for my body.
You are.
It is 6 minutes to two here on Joy 94.9. A couple of messages and we'll come back and wrap it all up.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It has been a fascinating hour here on the wireless with Sharon, and I do promise that we will have her back, because there is so much that you and I can learn from somebody like Sharon about fermenting and taking care of our inner self as much as we do take care of our outer self. I also need to thank Michael Bichetta, who is from Grow Assembly. Do look that up online if you're listening and you're thinking there's a way to spend a day with some really cool hospitality people. There are 12 speakers, morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea, all included in your ticket price. So get to growassembly.com.au and have a look at that. Grampians Grape Escape.com.au, have a look at that as well. The festival is on in 2 weeks in Halls Gap in the middle of the Grampians. It's a great weekend, even if you want to go for a day. Again, have a designated driver or stay overnight nearby. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world and a great festival to be a part of. That's me done. Next week, we're getting Italian again. I know we got Italian a couple of weeks ago, but we're going back there to get a little bit more Italian. Mario's Cafe celebrating 30 years, and we will have one or maybe even two of the Marios joining me in this studio. And we'll talk Italian Food and Wine Festival as well. Escape Pod's going to take you travelling. I don't know if they're going to take you to Italy, but who knows? It's such a fascinating journey every weekend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I'm Pete Dillon. This has been Cravings, and you are on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.